Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that's exactly what I want it feeling. Hey, y'all, I ordered a super cool piece. It's a candle with a sculpture of LSU's Tiger Stadium on top of it. And each officially licensed laser-cut wooden replica features up to four layers of detail, creating a bird's-eye view of a specific football field, seating section, and more. And every label includes your stadium's name, the team's logo, and school location. And it has a coconut, soy, vegan wax infused with sandalwood smell that creates tailgates and touchdown scent profile, reminiscent of game day. It's invigorating like fresh-cut grass and nostalgic like smoke from a pre-game grill. In common, like the crisp autumn air of a new semester on campus. Y'all, I love it. I have it at the base of my TV, and I'm ready to watch the Tigers play on Saturday night, right? Uncommon Goods. Look, when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts you can personalize. From holiday hosts and hostess gift to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone from the book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not the same old selection you can just find anywhere. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/RLRC. That's uncommongoods.com/RLRC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the inaugural episode of True Crime Time for Monday. And I'm your host, Woody Overton.
And I'm Cindy Overton.
Yes, indeed. Brought it home, Mama. Finally.
Yay. Overton's were saying, in the house.
Yeah, and literally in the house and in the outfield in the house. We're in the studio at home. Didn't have to drive anywhere and do all the production here and everything else. So it's pretty cool. And this is going to be a great show. Lots of new stuff and True Crime Time for Monday, right, Mama?
I can't believe that real life, real crime has evolved into this. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. Y'all, of course, if you go back and listen to the original Real Life, Real Crime, the very first ones, the audio was horrible and all that. Well, this is going to be a million times better, and we'll get better every single day. Right?
Yes.
And,
yes.
But we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. You're going to be getting True Crime Time for Monday, True Crime Time for
Tuesday,
True Crime Time for Wednesday, and True Crime Time for Thursday. And we're going to be bringing you the best from around the world. We have some new segments and all kinds of stuff. So stay tuned and like and listen and all that good podcaster shit.
That's right?
And, you know, hope you're all doing well. And hashtag Justice for Haley dropped last Friday. And y'all, we need you to share it everywhere. And just the first episode is very tame compared to what's coming.
Yeah. Right. I think we should also mention the wonderful benefit of being a convict or patron right now.
Yes, that's true. In the past when we did the Daily Show, Patreon and Convicts, you never got commercial free early releases because of time restraints. Now that we're at home doing this ourselves, you're going to get those early releases.
Right. And also because we had partnerships with other people.
Neither here nor there. You're going to be getting it. It may not be as early as you're going to get the Real Life Real Crime original, or as early as you're going to get hashtag Justice Forward, but you will be getting commercial free early releases. As now, if you're a patron or member or a convict, which is the Real Life Real Crime community app, download it for free from the App Store. That's our subscribers, we call in the app convicts affectionately. And also there is a plethora of stuff, all the videos and everything on the hashtag Justice for Haley. I mean, all the body cam videos and interview room videos and courtroom stuff and all that, all the stuff that you can't physically see as you listen to it, I guess you would say, that's going to be locked up for Patreon and convicts. And if you want to become a patron or convict, you can go to patreon.com and search Real Life Real Crime, and it'll bring you all the different tiers, and you get different bonuses just like you do in the Real Life Real Crime community app. You can go in and subscribe to be a convict, and you get all the different benefits and tiers, and gifts, and they're just go read it. Too much to tell, but also it has the bonus episodes and everything else in there. But it's going to be a ton of stuff. And again, cannot ask you enough to please not share any of the stuff from hashtag Justice for Haley due to the sensitive nature, but tell everybody about it, but don't share it on social media. Okay.
Right.
Out of respect for the family. So let's get down some true crime time for Monday, November the 4th. Right.
It's November the 4th.
Yep. November the 4th. Okay. And you know what? Still haven't planted my food plots. They're all dissed up. And y'all learned that a long time ago. Years ago, I planted the first week of October. And it takes a lot. You got to cut it and let it die down some, and then cut it again, and then let it die, and then go back and disc it the first time, and let it die, and then go back and disc it again, get it ready for planting. And then you got to go back and disc right before you plant it. And then you got to plant it, and then you got to top it. And then, but we hadn't any rain. And it rained in a minute. So I learned that years back. I did it in the first week of October, and then it rained for 4 weeks, and we lost all our seed. It's like $2,000 worth of seed.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I know y'all don't care about that, but
it just popped in my head while you married me.
Wow.
Our first hunting season, you initiated me with the cleaning out of the stands.
Yeah, well, you need to get your ass on the job because that needs to be done this year too. It hadn't been hunting yet though, but our kids and stuff have been hunting, and it's all good.
Yeah.
So, ladies first.
All right.
Let's rock them.
I'm going to start with a feel-good story.
Oh, that's nice. The Nauru. Hey, let me tell you about saying the Nauru. You know this.
I do.
Yeah. when I started Real Life, Real Crime, I said.
First
annual crew bash. Man, I caught so much shit. People are like, it's the Nauru. I'm like, okay, it's the inaugural. So it's the inaugural, y'all. But go ahead. Give us a feel-good story, mama.
All right. So I'm going to start the feel-good story with, what is physically the largest theft you ever recovered or searched for?
I'll tell you that. After Hurricane Katrina, this massive multi-million-dollar company went into New Orleans and stole everything from bulldozers to track hose to computers to whatever.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was recovering equipment for months. Yeah. They literally had to get a helicopter and fly over this big business. They were hiding shit in the woods. I'm like, dude, you're making $50 million a year and you're going to go steal. And I get it. I mean, nobody's going to go out there and check the equipment, but I did, and I busted their ass.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, this is a story of a statue, a 600-pound statue that was stolen.
Well, I wonder what that was used for, but go ahead.
Well, In a remarkable turn of events, police in Detroit have actually successfully recovered the stolen 600-pound statue honoring Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Jefferson, a heroic Tuskegee Airman. Tuskegee Airman who flew 18 missions during World War II. And the statue, which had disappeared from Rouge Park, was located following a swift investigation that culminated in the arrest of two suspects.
Well, I'm glad they got them.
The life-size tribute was erected in June and placed in Rouge Park near Joy and Spinoza Streets, a location of significance to Colonel Jefferson, who often flew model airplanes there later in life.
At that park.
Jefferson passed away in 2022 at the impressive age of 100.
Yeah, you know, last time we were in D.C., we were walking down the street, and they had and of course, he was an elderly black gentleman, mm-hmm. And he had on his Tuskegee fighter jacket.
Yeah.
I remember I stopped and said, shook his hand and told him thank you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Tuskegee Airmen, for those of you who don't know, traditionally in World War II, the Army was still segregated, and I mean, it's just the way the times were. And a lot of the white pilots looked down on the black pilots and didn't want them flying missions with them and stuff like that. Well, the Tuskegee Airmen were, when they got the chance, they were first escort bombers. Mm-hmm. And they had like such a phenomenal rate of bomber return. And then they put them into fighting and everything else. And they really were the bee's knees, a fighter pilot. So it goes to show you that race doesn't matter.
Absolutely. And this man served very bravely, of course, like you just said, as the first African-American military pilots in U.S. history, but also endured 9 months as a prisoner of war in Poland.
What? So they shot him down. Yeah.
So following his return to Detroit, he dedicated his life to education.
Well, you got shot down in World War II. The Germans did not treat you nice. Mm-mm. If you were white.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what Mm-mm. they did to a black airman or African-American airman? Holy shit.
Yeah.
And so he spent time in an internment camp in Poland.
Wow. Yeah. So following his return to Detroit, he dedicated his life to education and was instrumental in forming the Tuskegee Airmen chapter in the city.
Cool.
Residents reported seeing the statue in its rightful place on Tuesday evening, but by Wednesday morning, it had vanished.
The fuck you move a 600-pound statue?
After receiving multiple calls about its disappearance, Deputy Chief Franklin Hayes emphasized the serious implications of the theft, stating, "The impact of what they did cuts deeper than the physical theft."
That's a fuck up.
It tarnishes the history and legacy of the Red Tails, the Tuskegee Airmen.
That's the Tuskegee, all their fighter planes. They weren't bomber pilots. They were fighter pilots, and they were distinctive because they painted the tip of their tail of their fighter plane orange.
Right. So luckily this happened during this time in the world where there's cameras everywhere. So the investigation intensified when surveillance footage revealed a large rental truck leaving the area around the time of the theft.
How do you do that? And what are you going to do with it?
And then
put that in your flower garden?
Right. And so then they realized, of course, that these trucks now have GPS on them.
Really?
And so this led them to the suspect. And
it had to be suspects. You can't load a 600-pound statue by yourself.
This one suspect who was already in connection with other robberies, the person that had the truck. Right. And so law enforcement acted quickly, apprehending the suspect in real time, during which he confessed to the theft and turned over the statue. And so the police department had actually offered $5,000 cash reward for information leading to it. But luckily, you know, they just found it doing good police work, it all together.
Hey, did it say what it was made of?
It is.
It's got to be bronze or something for money.
Yes, this statue was.
Either that or it's a hate crime. But you said he's doing other stuff, so.
Yeah. It doesn't say what it was actually made of, but 600 pounds.
Yeah, but I imagine it's got to be some type of metal and not concrete. Most of those statues or metal, and metal is as expensive as everything else.
Oh, they're going to melt it down. Yeah, and they cut it off at the ankles. Like when
what?
The, yes.
That's fucking
insulting.
Yes, it
was cut off at the ankles.
Can you even imagine how long it would take you? I guess with a sawzall, you're out there at nighttime, batter operated sawzall. It had to be more than 2 feet.
I was thinking that as you say it, because how are they, you know, and then to get it into the truck.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's recovered.
Yeah,
so that's a feel good story.
I hope they can put his feet back on.
I know, but a hero. You know, these men went. And how do you do that?
I don't know. Some people have like recess, no fucking class, mm-hmm. right? I mean, go steal catalytic converters or some shit. The not a statue of a war hero.
Right.
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 Well, where was that at?
In Detroit.
Detroit. Well, God bless all of them. They call them the greatest generation. Yeah, they were all kids
mm-hmm.
when they went to, I say kids, 18 years old.
That's a kid.
Yeah, it's a kid to us now, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I was a kid when I was in the Army, but, and they went over there and they were fighting. Look, had they not done it, we'd be speaking German and Japanese, right?
Yeah, that's
now.
For darn sure.
So, anyway, good one, Sin. And I'm going to take you to one that's not so good. It's a dude named Renee Hoverman is charged with distributing disturbing videos, right?
Okay.
Depicting infants.
Oh, gosh.
And he is or was a children's therapist from Long Island, New York, and he was arrested and charged with distributing child porn by the U.S. Justice Department. The DOJ announced on Wednesday, October 23rd, that Renee Hoverman was arraigned on the charges, which stemmed from an investigation into child sex abuse videos. I'm sorry, I said he, y'all, it's a she.
Oh, wow.
She shared and discussed on social media over a 5-month mm-hmm. period earlier in 2024. Now, Hoverman, who is 36, used social media to upload videos of infant children engaging in sexually explicit acts between June and October of this year. And this is according to that, to the DOJ. Now, the DOJ also says that Hoverman's posts include videos of infants being raped by an adult man.
Mm.
And according to the complaint, Hoverman had also posed as a man online and chatted with other social media users about sexually.
Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Gobble. All Gobble meal kits are pre-prepped. That means less work for you and less waste in your kitchen. Their meal kits include everything you need so you can save time at the store or just skip that trip entirely. I got the box in and I had 3 different meals. I had a Kung Pao chicken, crispy fish tacos, and a beef bourguignon, however you say it. But let me tell you about the classic beef bourguignon. Look, it came with beef pot roast and a beef broth concentrate, red wine demi-glace, cremini mushrooms, cipollone onions, mashed potatoes, baby carrots, and rosemary thyme butter. It was so easy to make. Literally like 15 minutes it took Cindy. And let me tell you something, all the dishes were fire, but this thing was like a taste explosion in my mouth. It's just unreal. We've got to spend more time together and more time doing the things we love because everything came in this one single box right to my door. So see what a difference Gobble will make for your household. Right now, they're offering my listeners a fantastic limited time deal. You get $120 off across 4 boxes plus free shipping and free cookies. And let me tell you, those cookies, I ate one that was sin-baked and it was delicious. Go to gobble.com/real life. That's gobble.com/real life for $120 off your first 4 boxes. This offer is not available on the home site, so don't miss out. This is genius. It's taste explosions in your mouth like you never had.
Hey, ladies, are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? Well, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living in our environment right now. It's in your food, your water, the air you breathe, the clothes you wear, your skincare products. They all mess with your hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes your body goes through, premenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean you have to suffer through it. The good news is you don't have to suffer through it anymore because now you have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone support and supplement, it's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Well, my wife says it makes her feel like her own self again. And that's what women mention over and over in the reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code RLRC for 15% off today. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com and use code RLRC.
Abusing young children.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Hoverman sent videos showing the sexual acts taking place against infants and claimed the young children in the videos were his own. That's where I got it confused.
She was acting like a he.
Mm-hmm. Claiming it was his own children, bragging about punishing the kids with sexual violence.
Oh my. Right? God.
So the DOJ says, as alleged, Hoverman distributed heinous and disturbing child pornography. This is according to attorney Breon Peace of the Eastern District of New York. Our investigation into Hoverman is ongoing, and we urge anyone with information to contact Homeland Security's tip line, and together with our law enforcement partners, we will relentlessly pursue predators who victimize children and prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. Good for them. Now, but listen, Hoverman, who's also known as Rena, was employed as a therapist with an organization based in Melville, New York, and worked with children between the ages of 0 to 17 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
The authorities searched Hoverman's home in Plainview, New York, after charges were announced against her last week. It's upsetting. Half our block are kids, and they're all great kids. So hearing something like that, you never know what's going on behind closed doors and stuff like that. The neighbor, Nick Brandisi, told the news outlet. The local News 12 of Connecticut reported that LifeStance Health, where Hoverman had been employed, said in a statement that it immediately terminated her after learning about the charges. Now, Renee Hoverman worked in a trusted position as a therapist with children, making the allegations against her for the possession and distribution of incredibly dark and depraved child sexual abuse materials is even more disturbing. That's according to U.S. Special Agent in Charge, William S. Walker, and he works for Homeland Security Investigations in New York. He said, HSI is working around the clock with our partners to identify and investigate those who possess and distribute child sexual abuse imagery. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, please contact the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-HOPE or 4673, or go to RAINN, that's RAINN.org.
My gosh.
Can you fucking imagine? It's not often as females, especially with the child porn and everything, but I bet she's been doing it for a minute.
Well, I kind of blacked out when I heard, you know, kind of lost me, but did she make this or acquire this? I mean, it doesn't matter either way.
They weren't very clear on that.
Yeah.
But she damn sure shared it.
Yeah.
So
and pretended to be a man.
I'm sure they're still investigating it. And now they got to go back through all her cases for all the years she's been working there and re-interview all these. And the problem with it is a lot of them are going to be adults now.
Yeah.
And then in past cases I work where you go back and you find out, you know, one kid was abused or who else was around you and you go talk to them. They were like, hey, I'm married, motherfucker. I don't want to talk about it. Right. And
yeah.
I get that. But y'all,
you know, there's a lot of great organizations out there that can help you if you've suffered trauma like that. Gosh. And you don't have to live with it or be ashamed about it, because it's not your fault. It's not the kid's fault.
No.
But evil exists.
Evil exists.
And fuck her.
Just thinking these kids go to her for therapy for abuse, most probably, and then get abused.
We don't know for sure, but she damn sure was getting her jollies. You know what I'm saying? Talking to kids about it. If you share it and then you act like a dude.
I know.
Whatever.
Fuck her. Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to try to lighten it up again.
Well, this is not a light show. I understand your personality. Go ahead and do that, because I'm about to fuck it up again.
Okay. I'll be the yin and the yang. You'll be the...
Just do your story.
Okay. So what sport competition do you think a player would become aggressive when they lost? Like what kind of sport?
Anything I play.
Literally, that was going to be the first question I asked you. One of the first, my lead in was going to be to tell the story of anything you play with us, you play till you win. And once you win, you're out. You know? Yeah. Well,
that's true.
What if I told you that this player was a chess player who lost his cool when he lost?
I guess people stereotype chess players, but I used to play chess a lot. Like, it's very strategic.
You play chess every second of every day. You've got a check and a checkmate going all day long.
The actual game. I'm talking about the board game. You could get pissed off as chess as you could as football, I guess.
Well,
tell me what happened.
A teen at the Grand Masters had an outburst.
The big Super Bowl.
Yes.
For chess. Yeah.
So in a surprising turn of events at the 2024 U.S. Chess Championship, 17-year-old chess prodigy Christopher Yoo found himself not only expelled from the tournament, but also in hot water with law enforcement after a shocking outburst following his loss to four-time U.S. champion Fabiano Caruana.
Probably transfer from Russia or something.
Yeah. So on the fateful afternoon of October 16th, emotions ran high in the tense atmosphere at St. Louis Chess Club. After his grueling match against Caruana, Yu's disappointment boiled over. Allegedly, he crumpled his score sheet in frustration, stormed out of the tournament hall, and then, in an impulsive moment of rage, stuck a videographer from behind. He struck her.
That could be a rape charge.
He struck her from behind. The scene was chaotic. Witnesses reported the immediate fallout as the club scrambled to assess the situation. Immediate assistance was provided to the videographer and local authorities were called to the scene. According to St. Louis Metropolitan Police, they received the call around 5 p.m. concerning the 17-year-old male who had assaulted the 24-year-old woman. Was charged with fourth-degree assault and was subsequently released into his parents' custody as directed by juvenile court. In the decisive move, Chief Arbiter Chris Bird expelled you from the tournament due to gross violations of the club's code of conduct and the U.S. chess safe play policy.
I didn't know that the chess team needed a safe play policy. Prisons having the anti-rape policy. Like, rape is bad. the chess club is safe.
So the St. Louis Chess Club affirmed its unwavering stance on maintaining a safe environment, stating, "We take player conduct seriously and do not tolerate violations of our standards. As a result of the incident, all of Yu's results from the first five rounds of the tournament were annulled."
Well, you could really be pissed off now. Right? You got beat in chess and you go outside and hit a woman from behind. Fuck him. That's Yeah.
Well, the problem is that he has always been the shining star in the chess world, and he made history by becoming the youngest American master at 9 years old.
So he's one of the genius dudes.
Yes. Yeah. How does such a young, talented player navigate the pressures of competition? Well, obviously not very well.
Yeah, somebody didn't teach him about the anti-rape policy, the anti-don't-hit-a-motherfucker from behind policy.
The safe standards. Safe policy play.
I'm pretty sure. I guess you wasn't the first one to fuck it up, because then I tell you, any policy put in place is because somebody fucked it up before.
Apparently.
So you, shame on you. Yeah, right? All right. So, y'all, this story is so fucked up. Nova Leigh Bryant's family is remembering a toddler as her foster mother now faces charges. Look at this sweet baby.
Oh.
Yeah. A toddler girl who drowned in a bathtub is being remembered as a sweet little angel as her foster mother now faces a felony neglect charge after police say she confessed to leaving the child alone in the water for 30 minutes. So, Halen Volpatty, 25, was arrested after investigators discovered she left 21-month-old foster daughter Nova Leigh Bryant unattended for more than 30 minutes while she was on the phone in an upstairs bedroom talking to a friend.
Oh, my God.
Kid's 20 months old, bro.
No.
And then she lied to the cops about what happened on May the 21st.
Yeah.
So Nova's grandmother, Carrie L. Nauman, wrote in a GoFundMe post that the girl died on June 26th, according to the probable cause affidavit. The child died weeks after the bathtub incident, which took place at the suspect's home in Brazil, Indiana. Volpatty called 911 after returning to the family's bathroom and discovering her foster daughter floating in the bath water on her back with only a small portion of her nose above the water.
Oh my gosh.
An officer responding to the scene performed CPR and was able to find a faint pulse. The officer rushed the girl to the hospital. Now, Volpatty initially told the police she left Nova in a bathtub with the girl's twin 4-year-old brothers, who are Volpatty's biological kids. Mm-hmm. She said she just left them there for a matter of minutes when she went to get a drink in another room. But 2 days later, after police requested a meeting with a friend of Volpatty's, a foster mother came to the Brazil Police Department and admitted that she lied and told the investigators that she instead had an extended phone conversation with a friend upstairs while the three young children were left alone in the bathtub.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, on the GoFundMe page, Nauman, Nova's grandmother, wrote, "My precious little angel will not be forgotten." So, Nova's birth mother, Selena Conkright, told WRTV that her daughter was born with complications requiring a feeding tube and that Indiana Department of Child Services removed the child from her custody after 2 months because Conkright says she has ADHD and the department claims she wasn't capable of taking care of Nova. "They said I wasn't learning fast enough," the toddler's biological mother said. "I'm mad, sad," Conkright said. "I think it's crazy." So
that poor child's young life.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? You know what that really means? It's like a story. Something happened to Jackie. It took her almost a year to die. Mm-hmm. To me, that baby was getting murdered every day. Hopefully, she was gone on Jesus and everything. Yeah. I'm sure she was on life support or whatever for 2 months.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, for her mom and her biological mom and her, even the step grandmother, whatever you call a foster grandmother, they suffering every day. Look at that baby in the hospital.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
That is. But I mean, her short life, she had to have a feeding tube and then the
transfer. We know that, you know, that's no good thing about it, but the only good thing is that she was 20 months old and maybe she doesn't remember.
Well, she's an angel now.
Well, yeah. She's dancing with Jesus.
That's right.
It's all good. Flying high, right? And, there you have it. I don't know.
Well, don't have a feel good. It's kind of a feel good.
You don't have to have feel good. This is a true crime show. It's true crime time four, not feel good four.
Well, I remember when we were at Silliman, we had police officers come and teach the females, at least, like how to get away, like victims and how to not be a victim and how to protect yourself and, you know, what to do, scream, or even if you have to like go potty on yourself, whatever you have to do to protect yourself. And then my daddy spent our time together often, you know, teaching me those types of things. I would have never thought to do what this woman did, which she was to get out of a sticky situation. So in a remarkable display of quick thinking, a woman in Florida managed to save herself from an alleged attempted rape by cleverly pretending to order pizza during a 911 call.
So let's say you're being raped and they say, hold on, let me order a pizza.
Well, it was an attempted rape, and I guess, if I can continue the story. So,
hey, y'all, let me tell you about Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish that goal. Mochi's program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States and you will be meeting with their team online. You deserve doctors that listen. Mochi is dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being with the goal of transforming how weight management is approached. Mochi Health takes a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visit with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and medications delivered to your door. Science-backed medications including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compound versions, affordable and accessible, regardless of insurance coverage. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle. Reach your weight loss goals with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications and support from real doctors and guidance from registered dietitians and help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Y'all have seen this. My wife has done it. My brother-in-law has done it. One of my best friends is doing it. And it really is an amazing process that works. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off. That's joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off and let Mochi help change your life. Hey, y'all, you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with the subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to become curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. Look, we homeschool our son. No doubt about it. He's more of a visual learner, and we use IXL, and Cindy teaches him, and there are so many different benefits to the program. It adapts to exactly what he needs in different areas. So IXL is the perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum. IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational games, lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead like our son, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. Kids love IXL's positive feedback awards and educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And don't forget, Real Life Real Crime listeners get 20% off. Y'all, we really do use this product and it's been a godsend.
Authorities apprehended 27-year-old Luis Diego Hernandez Moncayo shortly after her call, highlighting the critical role of law enforcement and Border Patrol in such dangerous situations. Early in the morning on Saturday, October 19th, the Volusia Sheriff's Office received a call from the woman who cleverly masked her distress by pretending to order pizza. While on the line, she subtly dropped hints that she was in the presence of an attacker. The strategic maneuver alerted the dispatcher to the danger she was facing and allowed police to quickly mobilize to the rescue. During the call, the woman requests, "I would like to order a pizza. I'm so stuck in here," revealing the grave situation without directly stating it.
Yeah, because she was on the phone with 911. Mm-hmm. Right?
Despite being unable to provide an address, she continued to engage with the dispatcher, requesting a pepperoni pizza with extra cheese while indicating that she was injured. Apparently saying she wanted the extra cheese, like, you know, was kind of like expressing how grave danger she was in. Body cam footage later revealed police arriving to find Hernandez Moncayo allegedly on top of her, the rapist. In an open field, prompting immediate attention and immediate action as she screamed for help.
I can't talk today. No, I'll roll up and say, I'm thinking about, I got a mouthful of marbles. Yeah.
His subsequent arrest led to charges of attempted sexual battery, battery by strangulation, and false imprisonment. Moreover, Hernandez Moncayo faces an immigration detainer issued by U.S. Border Patrol, emphasizing the importance of active law enforcement and ensuring the safety of individuals. So essentially, the body cam footage brought them,
right,
and they saw the guy on the ground, you know, raping her. And right, so essentially the 911 call and doing what she did, the quick thinking, saved her life.
That is a good feel-good story.
It really is. I mean, using, you know, your mindset and then, you know, Border Patrol getting this man out of the country.
The 911 dispatcher
was amazing.
Right. And, mm-hmm, I worked with some of the best in the world, and some of them are deceased now, but, you know, they're trained for that. But you know what? I've been saying for years I was going to do an episode on 911 bullshit calls that they get. Mm-hmm. Like, people would call up and just be like, "I want to order a pizza." Mm-hmm. And like, "Motherfucker, we're coming to your house.
You're right.
You call 911. By law, we got to show up."
Yeah.
You prank calling 911. I mean, you call anybody in the world you want to. Don't fucking prank call 911. They got serious shit to do.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're taking the calls. They are dispatching all the officers, you know, monitoring how long they've been on calls and in case their sugar turns to shit and everything else. And so, but good for her. Kudos for her on getting that done. And I think that's awesome, right?
Kudos to the 911 dispatcher, like you said.
Yep, for sure, right? Yeah. And then that's, you know, and you said he was out in the field.
Yeah, he had gotten her out of the house, and he actually knew her, and that's how he was able to get into the house and how they were able to establish the connection. And she was like, "Hey, you know, let's order a pizza."
Well, I mean, you're 3 for 3 on feel goods. All right. So anyway, y'all, told you We're going to have some new segments, et cetera, on the show. And I'm going to start off with the inaugural. The inaugural. And it's time for Ran Like a Little Bitch. He ran like a little bitch. So today, I'm going to be up straight in a row for bad stories. But today, I'm telling you a deeply troubling story out of Minnesota where a man was on parole for a 2008 murder and is now wanted for the shooting death of his pregnant wife.
Oh, my gosh. Right?
The suspect, 36-year-old Michael Allen Stowers, is facing serious charges, and the police plan to charge him with second-degree murder, including the murder of an unborn child, as well as two counts of first-degree carjacking and two counts of second-degree assault with a dangerous weapon. Now, Stowers had just been released on parole with on the streets, they call it paper. So he's on paper. On March the 28th, after serving time for killing a man back in 2008. So he's been out. He's been down for 16 years.
Yeah.
And he gets out and does this.
Yeah.
While it's unclear exactly how many years he served, well, I just told you, prison officials noted that he was living in a halfway house on a work release program, which allowed him to visit his wife, whose name was Damara Alexis Stowers. Now, the couple was in the process of getting divorced, but it hadn't been
finalized.
Right. So on October 19th, around 9 p.m., police responded to reports of a shooting in St. Paul, Minnesota. When they arrived, they found Damara, who was 35 years old, lying on the floor with shell casings next to her body. She was tragically pronounced dead at the scene. Now, officers also discovered ultrasound photos in the apartment alongside a loaded handgun. Mm-mm. It might show intent. The building's owner told the cops that Michael had been living there but was being evicted since he wasn't on the lease. Now, right after the shooting, there were reports of a nearby carjacking. And when the cops got there, they found a man with a gunshot wound to the leg who said he'd been carjacked, right? And a witness from that scene reported that Michael fired at him but missed before he ran like a little bitch. Mm-hmm. Michael later calls the Ramsey County Sheriff's Office and said, hey, I'm going to turn myself in.
Oh.
But as of October 25th, he has yet to surrender to police. So he's still running like a little bitch. So I don't know what causes someone to do something like that. Especially when you're out on parole and, you know, I don't know. And you know, a certain amount of people are going to reoffend, and that's just the way that it is. I've been fortunate enough to meet the very first juvenile. He's an adult now. He was the very first one he was sentenced as juvenile for a heinous murder. Mm-hmm. He admits to it. He brutally murdered this little girl. And he got sentenced as I don't know, like 15-year-old, I think maybe 14.
Mm-hmm.
And he did time juvenile life in a juvenile detention facility. Then when he hit his 18th birthday, they shipped him to Angola.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did all his time. And then the courts came and changed the law where you can't give a juvenile life without. Mm-hmm. And so he actually got out. But he got out and did good shit. And he married a doctor and he has a family. But he started this program for people that are getting out. And he sets up the halfway houses and they help them get driver's license and bank accounts and jobs. And they really screen them. And I guess there's nobody better to screen a convict that's trying to come up for parole than a previous convict.
Right. That's right.
But that is today's inaugural episode of He Ran
Like a Little Bitch.
Awesome.
Right? Yay. All right.
All right.
And so, y'all, in keeping with that line of way, let's do another segment. You ready for it?
Beast mode.
Beast mode, Mama. Tell them about
it. All right. So, welcome to the inaugural segment of Beast Mode. My question is, at the end of this, I want you to tell me who you think the beast really was.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So, today we examine a troubling incident from Florida involving a 72-year-old John Burgos.
John Burgos.
And
72 years old.
And he exhibited a severe loss of control after Hurricane Milton.
Let me tell you what. Uh-huh. You know how hurricanes fuck people up and they lose geez, without power and stuff like that.
That's right. And he lost his shit, without power. And
yeah, about that, 19 days without power behind Ida.
And when you didn't have power at Ruth Lee, not only does it mean no power, it also means no water because of the pump.
Have shit.
Yeah,
they didn't have nothing.
You have nothing.
No power, no water, no nothing.
Yeah.
Shitting in a bucket and having to go to the Army National Guard to get water and stuff like that. Yeah.
And your driveway's still full of trees laying down over it and all of that. So you can relate to this, but you never started firing your gun in your house and you had plenty,
in your house. Yeah. I only did that one time and it was an accident.
When did you do that?
It's a bad story, but
is a swim story.
I could tell it. I was Jamie Hunt, Clint Beecham came to pick me up from Christmas leave from the Army. They drove all the way to Fort McClellan, Alabama, and picked me up. And my dad had my vehicle parked in the field behind the house where we grew up. And I had all this military training and all my life been firing firearms and everything else. We go to my parents' bedroom and my dad always kept a pistol, revolver on his nightside bedstand. And we're there looking for my keys and I picked it up. I said, y'all check out this pistol. And I just pointed up in the air and I knew what it's guns. Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Right.
I pulled the fucking trigger and that son of a bitch shot a hole and it was right in my face and my buddy's faces. And I started crying.
I guess like you a did. Little bitch.
And then because it scared the fuck out of me. And then I started crying thinking, holy shit, it's a 2-story house. Did the bullet go through? My daddy's going to murder me. Well, there was one wooden beam that ran across their bedroom and it was painted white. And my buddy went upstairs and looked. It didn't go through, but it was a hole right up to the right of their bed. I'm like, holy fuck, what am I doing? I went into their bathroom and got a bar. No, let me tell a story.
Okay.
I got a bar of Ivory soap and I filled it in with the soap. And just this past year or the year before, my daddy and I were together. I said, the long since sold that house. I said, did you ever see the bullet hole in the beam? And he said, what the fuck are you talking about? I told him, he said, you motherfucker. He probably didn't call me a motherfucker. But
he did not call you that.
Yeah, he probably did. But go ahead. So this dude's shooting off his firearm in his house after the hurricane because he's pissed off.
He is pissed. So on October 12th, he was just getting frustrated, more and more frustrated with Florida Power and Light for failing to restore his electricity.
In there.
And he began shooting a gun inside his home.
How'd that work out for him?
Well, when deputies arrived at his residence around 4 a.m., they discovered that one of the bullets had struck his dog.
Oh.
And despite efforts to rush the injured animal to the local hospital, he succumbed to his injuries.
He killed his own fucking dog.
He killed his own dog. And so Sheriff Wayne Ivey reported that Burgos, who was allegedly intoxicated during the incident,
4 a.m., that's exactly what I was thinking,
failed to immediately contact 911 after the shooting. Instead, he sought help from a neighbor to use their phone, which delayed the response to the situation.
But he go tell himself, I shot my dog?
Apparently. And so even after the tragedy unfolded, Burgos exhibited no apparent remorse for killing his dog. And
he's like, fuck it, it's my dog. I can kill if I want to.
Yeah. And Sheriff Ivey didn't hold back on criticism of Burgos's actions or lack of action.
What did Sheriff Ivey say?
And he said that it was an idiotic response to a frustrating circumstance. And he emphasized that the real issue lay in Burgos's inability to manage his frustration and emotions, pointing out, you were mad, you couldn't control your emotions, and you were drunk. And so Burgos at some point says, he essentially doesn't care. Like I can't find it. But so, he says, like, I did it. It doesn't matter. I was frustrated. Like,
I shot my dog.
Yeah. What you going to do?
Kill my dog.
So my question is, who's the beast?
Well, actually, he's the beast. But I think y'all, the beast mode segment is going to entail all things to do with animals.
That's right.
Because we have so many stories that deal with animals.
Right.
And then it ran like a bitch. Naturally, that is, you know, anybody that stories that where people are on the run.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, we hope y'all enjoyed them.
Yeah.
I thought they were cool.
I thought they were fun.
And I enjoyed doing this inaugural episode with you for True Crime Time for Monday.
November
4th.
Right?
And I always tell you, November 1, Real Life Real Crime came back to us. November 1, 2007 is the day I left the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office and started for the Louisiana State Police.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It's like an Independence Day.
Right? Like an Independence Day. Brought it back home. Y'all, we love and appreciate each and every one of you. We will be bringing you more and more stories and segments and different things, right?
Yes. And we've got more where that came from.
A lot of fun stuff coming up. So deal we'll tell you about some of it later on. Some of it's still a work in progress.
Yeah.
But that's it. You got anything else?
I'm just very excited that we can finally offer all of our content to all of our subscribers.
That's true.
Commercial free, at least commercial free.
The Daily Show was a lot.
Yes.
And then, you know, and more than just myself involved with Jim and Ago. And it just grew. And then, you know, it was hours and hours every week in the studio and driving and different things and different, you know, shit. So I'm very excited about that too. But we want to naturally thank our subscribers. I mean,
absolutely.
Y'all are awesome, but we love all lifers.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much. But y'all bringing it back home and literally home. The studio is outside our house.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to record when we want to. And you are the executive producer of
everything.
All of it.
Of our life.
I'm going to shout out to our new investigative producer.
Absolutely.
Leah Marie.
Yes.
She just sends us stuff
all the time.
Day long, all night long. And goes down the wormhole. She says she's very thorough.
But she's been helping me do like the posts, you know,
yes,
like.
Yes. So that's, you know, it's a lot. And, mm-hmm. and we're not bitching. And,
no.
And we're blessed.
Yes.
And we love and appreciate each and every one.
We have one more thing.
What?
One more thing. If anybody has a good frappe recipe, I need one because Woody certainly doesn't miss driving into the studio, but he's going to miss his McDonald's frappe. I got the sausage McMuffin down.
I'd like to have that. And I even looked at the McDonald's frappe machines, but they're like $15,000.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what I'm not going to miss. So I have the McDonald's app. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing I ever got from McDonald's was sausage and egg McMuffin, which you make for me now.
Mm-hmm.
And the frappe.
Mm-hmm.
But more times than not, it's like the fucking ice cream machine at McDonald's. I'll order my shit through the app, right? Mm-hmm. And I pull up. I have a code. Give me your code. Oh, I'm sorry. We're out. The frappe machine's broken.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, fuck. And then one of the last times I got my sausage and egg McMuffin, don't interrupt. It had sausage and egg in it and cheese. But one top part was a McMuffin bun. The bottom part was a biscuit, piece of a biscuit.
They were mixing it up.
I won't be missing that. But I do miss the frappes. All those Daily Shows, I was sitting in the studio sucking on a frappe. So anyway, is that it?
That's it.
All right. So now we're concluding the inaugural episode of True Crime Time for Monday. Y'all tune in for True Crime Time for Tuesday.
Yes.
Tomorrow. And we love and appreciate each and every one of you. And that's it.
That's it.
All right. Peace. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue one last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue one last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.